This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Working straight through two nights in a row, negotiators in Bonn, Germany, finally crafted a deal over how to enact the Global Warming Treaty. The diplomats have reached a compromise on the critical details of the Kyoto Protocol, which was negotiated in 1997. Many countries were determined to salvage this treaty, though the United States decided to withdraw from the treaty earlier this year. NPR's Richard Harris reports from Bonn.
Negotiators have tried and failed before to write the critical rules of the climate treaty, so they knew that this was really their last chance to keep the Kyoto Treaty alive. Reaching a compromise meant a lot of give and take, but Margot Wallström from the European Union says it was worth the effort.
We were capable also of showing the United States and our communities and our citizens and our NGOs that we could actually come to an agreement also without the United States.
The deal lays down the rules for the Kyoto Treaty. In particular, it spells out how countries can reach part of their obligations by trading pollution credits with one another or by planting forests to soak up carbon dioxide. The resulting deal lets countries rely substantially on those tactics to reach their goals and requires less in the way of reduced emissions. That disappoints some environmental activists, but Philip Clapp, president of the National Environmental Trust, says it still has real teeth.
Over the next decade, you're looking at a truly substantial reduction in industrialized country emissions. What's much more important, though, is that the nations here got a framework in place, which the world will experiment with over the next decade, and we'll see how well it works.
Even though the United States is not part of this treaty, the decisions here could affect U.S. businesses. For example, some power companies expect they will eventually have to find ways to reduce carbon dioxide emissions or compensate for those emissions by planting trees or helping utilities elsewhere reduce their emissions. U.S. companies won't be able to use the global system to do those swaps that the Kyoto Treaty puts in place. Bill Fang from the Edison Electric Institute says the climate treaty is deeply influenced by economic and political concerns. For example, the pact takes a strong stance against nuclear power, even though it produces no greenhouse gas emissions.
Nuclear energy is simply a political football here. You have some environmental groups and some European Union countries who are opposed to the use of nuclear power, and they are trying to tell the developing countries in whose where these projects will be located whether they can use those projects or not, which we think is simply wrong. The developing countries have the right to determine what kinds of projects they want, whether they're nuclear or not.
In all, the pact is just one small step toward a global solution to climate change. And no response can be complete without the participation of the world's largest emitter, the United States. Olivier Deleuze, head of the European Union delegation, says they are still looking for ways to involve the United States in the global response to climate change.
To bring a U.S. on board, we had to have a boat. And this was not an easy thing, to have a boat. So now we have succeeded to have a boat. And I think that is the way we will bring U.S. on board.
In the end, close U.S. allies, including Japan, got on that boat, along with the developing nations. They now need to convince their national parliaments to ratify the treaty in order for it to come into effect. And in the meantime, the United States still struggles to formulate its climate policy.